I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it B&B? Or what is it? I don't know. We could call it the Hassan Hour, alliteration. That's what we love on this network. This is the BetMGM Network. I am not PJ Glasser, as you may have noticed. I know we are strikingly similar. But I am Jake Hassan, and we are here, I am here, with you for the next hour, taking over the reins. This is my network now, my show, I'm the captain now. So that's what we're here to do. The BetMGM Network, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, wherever you find the BetMGM Network. I am Jake Hassan, at Jake double underscore Hassan as well. We are going to go through everything today, dear listener, dear viewer. It's not just going to be baseball for an hour. We have a ton of NBA to get into. We have a ton of NHL to get into. So we are going to go through all of that. So send in your comments, send in your questions, as you usually would, to PJ Glasser here on Send It In. Anything is on the table, and we will get to it at some point. So go to Twitch, go to YouTube, go to Twitter, wherever you're at, wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, and send in your comments, send in your bets, and we will get through all of it here. Wherever you get your podcasts as well, send it in. And bet slips and bet flips as well, which will be in the second half of this hour, as it usually is. But that's wherever you get your podcasts. And we appreciate your five-star ratings and your reviews as always. But without further ado, we get to the Glasser guest line. And yes, we are still going to use those alliterations because it's funny to me and I want to. So on the Glasser guest line today, you know him, you love him. He is usually here on Wednesdays. It is Chase Kitty, writer for BetMGM. Follow Chase on Twitter at Chase A Kitty. Chase, I appreciate you coming on still, even though no PJ, obviously.
Jake, valued customer here for the Glasser guest line. So I'm happy to be here, no matter who's sitting in your chair.
Well, appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on. And as the listeners, the viewers know, and as we know here, you're big NBA. You are in those weeds, as we like to say. And we have a couple games tonight, but I want to start with some more macro stuff because we have a couple of series, and we have a series that's set already. The Cavaliers are going to face off now against the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers eliminate Milwaukee yesterday, and then there were some extracurriculars after the game that we don't have to super get into. But I want to start with Cleveland, and they absolutely take care of business against Miami. And I know a lot of people were kind of trying to find angles to take shots at the Boston Celtics. They're the tippy top of the Eastern Conference. But did the Cavs and how they handled Miami and just the way they absolutely kind of went belt to ass, did that change your opinion on the Cavs? Do you think they can be a true contender on a Celtics or even on a Thunder level?
I mean, my position is generally that the Cavs and the Celtics are the two best teams in the East, that nobody else is really close to them, that I think they are relatively even in terms of competing to win that conference. So does the Miami result change anything for me? No, not really. I already thought they were kind of on that level. Miami's not a very good team. I thought some of the stuff they did with Tyler Hero in the play-in games and early in this series, I thought it was interesting and what they did just kind of scheme him up and get him shots. But overall, I mean, like, these teams aren't close and we knew that. So I don't know that I necessarily learned anything from the result of this series. I think the series price with the Pacers tells you everything you need to know. You and I were kind of talking offline briefly before we got on here, and it, you know, the idea that the Pacers beat Milwaukee so convincingly, maybe now people are going to flirt a little more heavily with what the outcome of this Cleveland-Indiana series could be. Cleveland's a minus 500 series favorite, right? So I think we're going to get some good games. I think the Pacers will get one or two in the series, but the Cavaliers are clear favorites to advance here and play Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals series matchup that we all kind of thought we were going to get and will, in all likelihood, still get. So I think it's pretty business as usual status quo in terms of what we know and what we've learned.
you mentioned the Pacers and how you think that they can take a game, and I generally agree. I think they can steal a game. Are you thinking that that's going to be a Pacers home game, like maybe game three you have circled to try and play on the Pacers, or are you just going to try and wait and see how the series opens in Cleveland and then go from there?
Yes, I'm going to wait and see. I generally am somebody that likes to get aggressive and do weird stuff with the series exotics. I love to take series spreads. But in this case, I think I'm just going to wait and see how these first two games go. I could see the Pacers. I mean, this is probably the maximum confidence that you're ever going to feel this year. If you're the Pacers, you're coming off of an Eastern Conference Finals appearance from last year, and you handled Milwaukee pretty steadily. You have at least one improbable comeback here in the series that we saw just recently. So this is probably the best you're going to feel. I would not be surprised to see a really competitive game one in Cleveland, but I think long-term you're probably looking at a 5 or 6 game series. I'll wait and see on most of the futures plays at this point.
I want to go to the other series in the East that we're waiting on, and maybe that's become more of a series than we are anticipating. Game 6, Detroit and New York tomorrow. How do you view this game? How do you view the series? Do you think that the Knicks are in trouble here? Do you think they wrap it up in Detroit tomorrow? How are you playing the rest of this series and this Game 6?
So I am one of the people that has been bullish on Detroit from the start. I did not think the Knicks were just going to cruise through this. I think Detroit has a much clearer sense of identity. This is a team that's led in all 5 of the fourth quarters of the series so far. So the fact that they're down 3-2 is a little strange to me. I feel almost unlucky in some of the Pistons bets that I've made on the series prices. Now I'm starting to get there. Like I had a Pistons +2.5 series bet. So that is now cash. We're going to see how many more I can get. But I do think that the Knicks are in trouble. I think they have a limited number of moves they can make because of how they're constructed, because of how reliant they are with Brunson, because of the degrading health of the team with multiple players at this point. I think the Pistons are going to get game 6. I think it's really hard to say anything terribly definitively because we don't know exactly how healthy or exactly how hurt Brunson is. I think even if he is hurt, you're going to see a big offensive game from him in game 6 because that's the kind of player he is. He wants to get in there and give maximum effort. That's certainly how the Knicks are coached too by Thibodeau. So I would be looking for player prop overs with Brunson in game 6, but I lean toward the Pistons getting the game and forcing a game 7 at MSG.
Chase, are the Knicks soft?
You know, this is maybe almost a lazy take because it's so historical, but I don't think it's that they're soft. I think it's that they're worn down because of how Thibodeau coaches them. It's not an original take. I am not breaking new ground with this opinion, but I think we've seen almost 15 years going back to the Bulls, you know, in the early 2010s of how Thibodeau coaches a team and how it wears on them over not just the course of one season, but the course of his tenure as a head coach. So I think you're seeing that more so than any kind of toughness showdown with Detroit.
Let's go to the Western Conference, and I want to start, and before we get to tonight's games, I want to start with Denver and the Clippers. Denver takes a 3-2 series lead. Jamal Murray wakes up, drops 40 on the Clippers. This Nuggets turnaround and maybe the interim coach and firing Mike Malone was the way to go, but how do you see the rest of this series? Do you think Denver can close it out and 6? Are we due for a game 7 here?
Yeah, I mean, I lean toward game 7 here as well. I certainly don't think the Clippers played their best game in game 5, but this is another series where Denver's up 3-2 and it feels weird that they are because it feels like they were outplayed in 4 of the 5 games, but somehow they're up 3-2. And that's just the nature of when you have Jokic, when you have, you know, I guess championship DNA, if you want to call it that, but just, you know who you are. You have a team identity and you've been there before. You've done it before. You have self-confidence. That I do think plays itself out in high leverage moments. And I think we saw that at the end of game 4. I think we saw that in some of the early Denver games. So I think the Clippers have another win in them. I don't know if they have 2 more in them, But I do think they can get game six back in Los Angeles. And I think this is, you know, a lot of people said this was the series more than any other one that was destined to go to seven. I kind of don't buy a lot of that stuff. But if ever there was a series that it felt like it needed to go to a game seven in this first round this year, it's clearly this one. I think if you are holding a lot of Clippers positions like I am, you still feel kind of good about it, even though they're down 3-2, because they've been the better team in most of these games. But I think the flip side of that is, if you've been the better team, why are you down 3-2? And that's a question that's kind of hard to answer.
Talking to Chase Kitty, writer for BetMGM, NBA handicapper, at Chase A. Kitty on Twitter. Let's get to tonight and let's talk about the games. And I want to start, because we'll start in Houston and with the Warriors and the Rockets. And Rockets open about 2.5 point favorites. They get bid out to 4, and now it's coming back towards 3.5. But how do you see this? I mean, Warriors are up. They can close it out tonight, and they're dogs. And Jimmy Butler's back. He looked fine, played really well in the last game. How do you see tonight shaking out?
So I don't know that I necessarily want to bet on a side. I think the gut instinct is, when you're Houston and you're the higher seed, right, and you're quote unquote supposed to win, and you're down 3-1, most of the time that's a team that understands your back is against the wall and you're going to get a great performance out of them. You want to bet the favorite in that spot. I think one of the observations I've had, you know, in previous weeks about this series, and I think I'm still going to stick to, is Houston is so young and inexperienced that I kind of wonder if they understand that intuitively. So I want to bet Houston, but I'm probably going to lay off. I am going to bet the under. I think you're going to get a great defensive performance from both teams. I think the Houston games in particular in this series, the games that have been in Houston, have definitely played toward the under. So I like that at 204.5. I've seen the Warriors' three-point numbers, team-wise three-point numbers. Their attempts have ticked up every game this season. I haven't identified a particular betting angle in the prop market on that, but I know something is in there somewhere. Maybe it's Steph. Maybe it's more of a role player. I'm not there yet on that. What I am there on is Buddy Hield. What you've seen is Moses Moody's role in the series has gone down every game. Buddy Hield's minutes have gone up every game. And so I think there's a huge opening in the Hield prop market. I think one way you can go at it is over 14.5 on the combo stats, points plus rebounds plus assists. I think that is a wildly low number. You could just play rebounds plus assists. You could just play the points prop. So there's a lot of different ways you could go with the Hield numbers. But I think the most conservative, safest way to go at it is the full combo prop.
That's your angles for Warriors Rockets. Let's get to the main event. Speaking of 3-1, speaking of back against the wall, speaking of guys and teams that people are going to bet, people are going to bet the Lakers. They're going to bet LeBron and Luka. Lakers 5.5 point favorites tonight facing elimination. How do you see this one? Who are you playing on? What are your props? What are you looking at for tonight, Chase?
Yeah, 5.5. And I've even started to see some 6.5s out in the market. So, I mean, it's still 5.5 at BetMGM for now, but I think we're going to start to see that creep at more locations towards 6.5 at that price. I mean, sure. But I would bet Minnesota. And that's a big number for a playoff game. And the assumption there in the market is, okay, well, the Lakers are of course back, like everything I just described, right? Veteran team, players that have been there before, backs against the wall. They're down 3-1. They're the higher seed. They're supposed to win, blah, blah, blah. Of course you're going to get a good performance out of them. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think you have two great players on this team and everything else is kind of eh. I think that the series has borne that out. So I am skeptical of the giant performance from the Lakers. I would take the points with Minnesota. I would bet the under 210.5. BetMGM actually has the best number there in the whole market at 210.5. A lot of other books have already gone down to 209. Edwards over 11.5 rebounds plus assists. Anthony Edwards is actually leading this series in rebounding, which seems crazy. Gobert under 8.5 rebounds. I've talked about this every week for 3 or 4 straight weeks. He's just not that involved in this series. It's not a good series for him. His rebound market is way priced out. And I've gone under basically every game in addition to the series futures. And then LeBron under 1.5 three-pointers is a great value at plus 140. He's been under this number one or fewer in two of the four games so far. So to be able to take that dart throw at plus 140 is a great option.
Chase Kitty, writer for BetMGM, NBA handicapper. Appreciate your time, man. As always, thanks for joining us on Send It In.
Thanks, Jake.
There he goes, Chase Kitty. Follow him on Twitter at Chase A. Kitty. A bunch of great stuff for NBA there for tonight and some macro thoughts as well. But let's just keep the Glasser guest line going. Let's just keep this party rolling. And now we go to an absolute somebody near and dear to my heart. And we make this the You Better You Bet producer hour for right now. Tyler Morales joins the show on the Glasser guest line to talk some golf in the weeds. On the golf, Tyler. First of all, how do we feel? This is unusual territory. What's up, buddy?
How we doing, Jake? It's about time. Everyone, move over. Sorry, PJ. We're the captains now. This is our show. We control this here. It's Jake and Tyler. The You Better You Bet hour. We're going to promote this as.
It's yeah, exactly, because the people don't have enough of You Better You Bet yep. content on this network, and the people have been clamoring for the Hassan and Morales hour, as I've always said. But, dude, I mean, you've been crushing the golf. Shout out Justin Thomas. I mean, shout out Rory and the Masters and everything. You crushed it as you usually do. And we've been in those weeds. I know you have stuff at Tyler Morales, at Tyler Morales Zero on Twitter. And I want to start because I know you have some angles already for the PGA Championship. Tell the people what we're looking at and what we're getting ready for the PGA Championship.
Yeah, so like this snuck up on us. We feel like we just had the Masters a couple weeks ago. The PGA Championship's in 2 weeks, which is not a lot of people are talking about. There hasn't really been a bunch of big tournaments in the PGA. We're at Quail Hollow. The name of the game here is two words. It's driving distance. And you can tell because Rory McIlroy has won here four times. He won here last year. He's the favorite. A golfer I'm looking to target here is Joaquin Niemann. I like him a lot. He plays on LIV, so a lot of people don't see him outside of the majors. And he's been getting slammed in the betting markets. He's as high as 40, down to his 28-1. And why he's he beginning to slam? Because he's basically a LIV Golf Scotty Scheffler. He wins or contends every single week. Now, the problem with our boy Niemann here, he has zero top 15s in majors, and he's played a lot of majors. We're talking like 5-6 years worth of data. But this is finally, I think, to me, an outstanding spot for him to get over the hump. One of the furthest hitters in the world, one of the best ball strikers. He's won big events for some reason. Maybe it's just a mental block. Cannot contend at majors. I think this is the best chance for him. I've been avoiding him for this golf course. His price to win is everywhere, 40-28. Find the best number. I don't want any part of him in the 28-1s, 20-1s. Find 35. I love it. Joaquin Niemann's going to be one of the guys I'm going to be targeting for the PGA Championship that has snuck up on us somehow in 2 weeks.
Is there anyone else, like your second, third guy in the bucket, in the hashtag bucket, that yep. you're waiting for, or you're waiting to see how they play over the next couple of weeks for the PGA?
We've talked about this on You Better You Bet. Bryson DeChambeau has basically become the new Brooks Koepka. He contends in every major, no matter what he's played in. His last five majors, four of them, he's had top sixes. So, and I've already said, driving distance is going to be the name of the game here. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau hits maybe second furthest in the world behind Rory. So he's the guy I'm going to be targeting. He's contending in every major so far. The only one he'd missed the cut at was the Open. That's because he won the U.S. Open previous. So I don't think his head was really in the game. DeChambeau is contending everywhere. He almost won LIV again last week before Niemann caught up to him. So this is like, I think, a good week to target a bunch of LIV guys. So Bryson DeChambeau and Joaquin Niemann are two guys I'm going to be targeting near the top.
All right, let's go to the CJ Cup this week, Tyler. Yes. What do you got? Who are you targeting? Scotty is the favorite. It's 3-1, minus 125 to finish top five. I know there's no way you're betting Scotty. So who are you taking shots with? Who are you looking for the CJ Cup this week?
So this is one of the easier, we're at TPC Craig Ranch. This is one of the easiest golf courses on tour. Like winning score would be around 22, 23 under. Like this is your prototypical birdie fest. Like whoever has the hottest putter is going to win. Now I say whoever has the hottest putter, what is Scottie Scheffler's bugaboo? He doesn't make a lot of putts. He's plus 200, plus 215 to market. I actually think this is in my head, how I'm approaching this, I'm ignoring Scottie Scheffler. I'm not going to fade him. I'm not going to bet him. To me, he's never going to win this kind of tournament. His talent separates on difficult golf courses. These aren't the setups he usually wins at, so I'm not even touching Scottie Scheffler. Let him try, and this is scary. I'm gonna let him try to beat me this week, and we're gonna see what happens. So one guy I like at the top of the board is Sungjae Im. This is a guy nobody will want. I love him this week. I never bet this guy, but he's an elite golfer when it comes to easy golf courses. He's starting to show some form, 5th and 11th in his last two starts. He has a 9th here. He has 10 top 10 finishes in the last 2 years. He cannot get over the hump, but this is kind of a narrative play as well. Droughts are starting to break this season. Rory finally won the Masters. Justin Thomas won after not winning in 3 years. Russell Henley finally won a big event at Bay Hill. I think that theme could continue here with Sung J.M. I like him a ton at 25-1. I think the number's awesome. And also a quick, just a tidbit, and PGA and just the golf betting the last 2 years, only three golfers under 20-1 have won tournaments. Xander, Rory, Scottie Scheffler. Outside of those three, if you've been under 20-1, you have not won a golf tournament on the PGA Tour. So I don't want anybody under 20-1 unless it's those three or maybe Bryson DeChambeau at a major. And if you want to go to a long shot, one of them I really like is Michael Thor Bjornsson. He's 80-1. I'm going to be peppering the long shots. I don't want anybody at the top of the board. This is a guy that gets hot and cold faster than anybody on tour. And right now he's hot. He was an accomplished amateur. Last two events, second and fourth at the Zurich. Young golfer. He goes super low. We need guys that can fit the mold and get a ton of birdies. That's our guy, Michael Thor Bjornsson. So he's one of the long shot I'm targeting. And at the top of the board, Sung J.M. We'll see what happens with that guy.
Michael Thor, you know, Bjornsson. That was right there, Tyler. That was a layup.
Come on. I should have thought of it.
It was right there. You said you're going to try and let Scotty beat you, and I get it. Scary. Would you ever take him in, like, matchups going against him? Like, if you could pair him against somebody, would you ever try and beat him that way?
No, because the golfers you're going to get against him are probably going to be, like, Jordan Spieth, who I don't care what golf course this is. I'm not putting Jordan Spieth against Scottie Scheffler, no matter the price I'm getting. Or you're going to get Sung J.M. So you're not going to get you're not going to get good golfers to go against Scottie Scheffler. I think the best approach here is just ignore him. It's going to sound crazy. Don't even bother. If he sneaks up to us at the end, but I don't trust him in tournaments that's going to be 23, 24 under. He just doesn't make enough putts to do that. And some random jabroni will get hot with the putter and win this week. That's how I think this is going to end.
Are there any props you do like top finisher, anything top five, any placement stuff that you like, or are you just going with the outrights?
I like a placement. Here's a golfer that I don't think that has been said on this network once. Rio Hisatsune. He's 70-1 to win. I like him to finish top five as well. So the last five events, he has four top 18s. We can play him top 20, top 10s with two top fives. He's one of the best long iron players on tour. This is an extremely long golf course. He has four wins in Europe and Japan. He's playing really well as a young golfer. I think this is his second full year on the PGA Tour. He's been in contention a few times the past few weeks. He's a long price at 70-1. We've seen him contend in some decently sized, better events than where we're playing at the CJ Cup. And he's won overseas a few times. I'll take the top 10 on Rio. I don't know if he can win, but he's been contending, and I think we can continue that streak.
One thing about Tyler Morales, and I've always said this, is he's going to throw names that you have never heard from a golf outright. But that's why we love you. That's why we bring you around for this. Tyler Morales, you better you bet fame, at Tyler Morales 0. Two things before I let you go, Tyler. One,
yes.
I know you're in the draft weeds. I know you're in a dynasty draft right now. Who's somebody that you love from the draft, that you love their fit, you're going to be drafting them in fantasy, whether it be dynasty or elsewhere? I know you're a big Colson Loveland guy, so I'm going to take him off the board. But somebody else from the draft that you love where they ended up.
Let's go from one bear to another. So I love Luther Burden. Before last year, this was a consensus top five pick in the draft. He fits the mold of a Deebo Samuel, and I'm going to say this name, and it's going to make sense because he's been Ben Johnson's the bear coach. He prototypes exactly like Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's going to play the slot. He's a short guy, and he breaks a ton of tackles. And so Luther Burden was in an offense that kind of just killed what he does. They ran a ton of screens with him. The same thing USC did with Amon-Ra. If Ben Johnson plays him in the slot, which I assume he's going to, I mean, he drafted the guy that comps best to Amon-Ra. Luther Burden's like going to be my guy in dynasty leagues. I think I'm not sure about Roma Dunsai. I don't know how long DJ Moore is going to be a Chicago Bear since he seems to hate the team. I'm Luther Burden all the way. I think the Bears had a slam dunk. So Loveland and Luther Burden are the two guys I want.
Love it. Tyler Morales, you better you bet fame, at Tyler Morales 0. I don't care what Nick says. I think your Twitter handle is fine. As somebody that had a terrible Twitter handle before, I think it's fine. Love you, buddy. See you in like hour and a half.
Yeah, we'll talk to you about 30 minutes, Jake.
I'll see you later. Tyler Morales, appreciate the golf insights there here on Send It In on the BetMGM Network. Let's get to Playoff Peej. And even though PJ is not here, it's still going to be Playoff Peej time and go through everything, the NBA, the NHL, everything that your little heart could desire across the sports landscape here in the last couple of minutes before we hand the reins to, me for B&B. And about 5-6 minutes here. But before we get to all of that, we have to tell you about a promo from our friends at BetMGM here as soon as I find it. There it is. Make a fast break for the action and join the rush this playoff season with BetMGM. Get an NBA playoffs or Stanley Cup playoffs odds boost token and score a bigger payout on a winning bet brought to you by the sportsbook born in Vegas, BetMGM. And as always, please gamble responsibly. But as promised, playoff Peach, we start in the NBA tonight. Two games, and we talked about them with Chase Kitty a little bit to start the show here on Send It In on the BetMGM Network, which you can find Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, at the BetMGM Network, by the way, where you can find us. Send It In, Bet Slips and Bet Flips, which again is in about 5 minutes with still me. You could also find the usual shows, Bet Sweats, The Daily Tip, You Better You Bet, BetMGM Tonight, all of them under the BetMGM Network umbrella, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. But we talked to Chase Kitty from BetMGM about tonight's games. I really like the Warriors. I get that the Rockets are getting bet. This got out to 4.5, and now it's come back a little bit to 3.5. Just give me the Warriors with the stars, with the experience. Chase talked about that a little bit with veteran teams and teams that have been there. I think that this Warriors team smells blood in the water. They want the time to let Jimmy heal up a little bit more from that pelvic contusion, even though he played really, really well in the last game. And as Sean put this in the rundown, would you rather play Sengun over rebounds or Curry over threes? Give me Curry over 4.5 threes if you made me pick one. Absolutely. He only had 2 in the last game, but hashtag trends, he's gone every other game in this series to go over on threes. So obviously, it's going to go over tonight, but also I think you get an awesome Curry performance just to put the Rockets to bed tonight and advance the Warriors to the next round. So give me the Warriors on the money line in this one. Honestly, sure, if you want to be a coward, take the points. I'm taking the Warriors outright on the money line to advance to the next round. And as far as T-Wolves and Lakers goes, Chase was saying that there's 6s and 6.5s going now and starting to pop. I agree with him completely. Way too big of a number. Anthony Edwards is a crazy person. So there's no way he's going to let this be more than a two possession game here. Yeah, you probably get an awesome LeBron or Luka performance or both with their backs against the wall because they're just generational players and they're not just going to go quietly into the night and get their tail between their legs. So maybe the Lakers win. But I'll take the points with the Timberwolves. I mean, we saw kind of crazy person Anthony Edwards at the end of the last game on Sunday night where he willed them back in and willed them to a win. He went nuclear at the end of that game. So I'll take the points with the Timberwolves in this one. As far as the series prices go for the next couple of series, yeah, the Pacers beat the Bucks, and everyone's going to say, oh, well, the Pacers have the juice. Look at, you know, Tyrese Haliburton's dad is starting scraps with Giannis after the game. And Haliburton with the game winner, he's awesome. Yeah, he is awesome. But I'm not going to bet into that and bet with emotions and go with, oh, well, the Pacers beat the Bucks. The Bucks stink. So I think the price is right on the Cavaliers for sure. I agree with Chase. Maybe the Pacers steal a game, but I think the Cavs should win this and probably a gentleman's sweep. Honestly, 5 games, I feel like that will be more than enough. Elsewhere, though, let's go to the ice with the games tonight. Canadiens and Capitals, Caps -190, totals at 6. I think the Caps take care of business tonight, advance. They're the heavy favorites. They're team of destiny. It makes a lot of sense. I think that that is just right. Panthers and Lightning. This game's a pick in Tampa Bay. I think the Panthers mercifully end the Lightning suffering tonight. After the way that they rallied back and won the last game, I think that this Lightning team is just emotionally defeated and that the Panthers take care. And this is what the Panthers do. Even last year, once they get out to these leads and they rally and they win in heartbreaking fashion, 1,000% give me the Panthers tonight as well. But PJ's plays to close it out, going streaking. I know PJ's on this streak right now, 9-game hit streak. So no pressure for me, obviously, but let's just keep it easy. Let's keep it, make it 10. I have confidence in myself. And this is a good segue into baseball in about a minute when we switch over to Bet Slips and Bat Flips with, oh, hey, look, it's me still, Jay Kassan, for another 30 minutes. And we'll cover everything baseball for you. But going streaky, give me Steven Kwan to get a hit tonight. Great history versus Pablo Lopez, 7-for-14 with a double, hitting .333 over the last 2 weeks. Absolutely love that. PJ's props, give me Curry over 4.5 threes tonight. I think you get an awesome performance from him and closing out the Rockets and the Warriors advance. And in that same vein, dog of the day, Warriors on the money line. Can't believe that this is the line. Warriors to win outright and put an end to the Rockets. Houston, we have a problem. It's that we can't get it off the ground. Anyway, there's a joke there somewhere, but we're coming up against it before we get to BNB. Jake's best bet, you're going to have to wait for that, because right now we are about to start Bet Slips and Bat Flips and cover everything MLB and cover everything baseball. So we'll see you in about 15 seconds or so after the open hits, in just 5 seconds here. See you in a minute.
Time for Bet Slips and Bat Flips.
This is going to be unbelievable.
With your host, Jake Hassan.
And what we do is better. Once everybody else likes something, you hate it. And that's exactly what happened with me.
We'll be betting K's and debating your plays.
No sweat. Have a fun time. Good luck out there. Do your best.
Play ball.
Welcome in to Bet Slips and Bat Flips. I am your host, Jake Hassan, here on the BetMGM Network. Thank you to the crew at Send It In, which also happened to be Jake Hassan and myself and Sean Haw as well, working behind the scenes to precede the hour. But now we get into Bet Slips and Bat Flips here on the BetMGM Network. Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, at the BetMGM Network. Me on Twitter, at Jake_Hassan. We did a bunch of NBA. We did a bunch of golf. We did some NHL there to close the Send It In portion of the hour, but you know what time it is. It is now time for the BNB hour, the BNB part of the Hassan hour. I really wish that alliteration sounded better. But anyway, I digress. Let's get into some baseball and let's get into what you are here for. As always, get into the bettors box, send in your bets, send in your questions. B-Mills, I know, was in the chat during the Send It In portion of the hour. That will go into the bettors box and we'll talk about it in just a little bit as usual. And as always, we appreciate you joining us here on the BetMGM Network. We appreciate you watching the show live. And if you can't catch the show live on Twitch, on YouTube, or on Twitter, go wherever you find your podcasts. Send it in. Bet Slips and Bat Flips. We appreciate your 5 stars and we appreciate your reviews, which I still promise we will read your reviews at some point. Will it probably be the All-Star break in a month and a half? Yeah, probably, but we'll read them. I do promise you that we will get into that at some point. But for now, we get into the one game that I absolutely love today. Business as usual here on Bet Slips and Bat Flips. And the one game that I did absolutely love today was Angels and Mariners. And it's because I do like, and I know we usually do the starter spotlight, but I do really, and there's somebody else in the starter spotlight, obviously, because this is the game that I love. But give me Emerson Hancock over 4.5 strikeouts. He actually has been very good in the 2 starts ever since his season debut, where it was a disaster. And I know you look, you say, well, 7.71 ERA. But in his 2 starts since his season debut with Seattle, a 2.81 FIP, an ERA just over 3, and 2 road starts against Cincinnati and Boston, which are not easy places to pitch. So Emerson Hancock today going against the Angels, now at home, where Seattle pitchers over the last couple of years especially have been much better when pitching in Seattle as opposed to on the road. So Hancock over 4.5 Ks. The Angels strike out 2nd most in baseball versus right-handed pitching and 4th most in baseball on the road. Really like this matchup. Really like Emerson Hancock today over 4.5 strikeouts against the Angels. That is the one bet that I absolutely love today. We'll get into the starter spotlight and the rest of the card a little bit later on in the program as usual. And of course, get into the bettors box, send in your bets, send in everything that you have, your questions, your comments, whatever's on your mind. We will get to that in the bettors box in just a little bit here. But first, we have a game that is currently in progress right now. Cardinals and Reds is happening in Cincinnati right now. It started Miles Michaelis versus Brady Singer. Mason Wynn opened this one up with a home run right off the bat. Well, off of his own bat, not off the bat of Brady Singer, but right off the bat of the game. to lead off the game. And so the Cardinals take the lead in that one, and we will keep you updated. I didn't have any bets in this game. I leaned the Cardinals, and they do have a 1-0 lead right now in the bottom of the fourth, but no official plays, nothing I'm currently sweating in that one. The live market is Cardinals favorites, obviously, as they have the lead. And with the Reds, I think that they're just a team that I don't want to play on right now. They have so many guys injured. They're figuring so much out, even with Ellie and Matt McClain playing well. The Reds don't have the juice for me. So no live jump in on the Reds or anything for me. But if anything crazy happens in that game, we will keep you updated. But for right now, we touch them all. We get into some injury news, lineup updates, everything that you need to know from the last 24 hours or so in the world of baseball. And this one hurts to say, and it makes me cringe a little bit as well, just from the nature of the injury. But Cole Ragans of the Royals is going to miss his start today. That was announced yesterday that he was going to be scratched. He has a groin injury. The Royals are calling up Noah Cameron to make the start for him. Ragans this season, as you know, been pretty good. One of the Cy Young contenders in the American League. 1-1 with a 4.40 ERA, 1.17 whip, 46 strikeouts to just 9 walks for Ragans. His last couple of starts, not the best, though. On the 18th of April at Detroit, 4 innings, allowed 5 runs, allowed a home run, struck out 8, but walked 3 as well. And then his last turn in the rotation against the Rockies on the 24th, only went through 3 innings, allowed 4 runs, 2 homers, and only 4 strikeouts. So maybe this is something that's been bothering Ragans for a couple of starts. We've seen that his performance has fallen off a little bit. It didn't sound like it was going to require a trip to the injured list. It sounded like maybe they were just going to push the start back a day. So we'll see how that shakes out tomorrow. We might see Ragans tomorrow. And we'll see how that goes with the Royals still in the series against Tampa Bay. So something to monitor for sure. I still think he's a contender for American League Cy Young. It's still very early. It's the last day of April today. We have seen guys, and Crochet had a really good start for Boston yesterday. Hunter Brown continues to pitch very well. Tarik Skubal obviously can never count him out. But outside of those three, I still think that there's then that second tier. Let's call Skubal, Crochet, and Brown the first tier right now. And then I think you have Max Fried, Cole Ragans, Jacob deGrom, after he pitched very well as well yesterday, in that kind of second tier here. So, rhyme unintended. But I think that Ragans could still very much get into this. If he, you know, nurses this injury and comes back okay, he still very much has the ceiling to win American League Cy Young. There's still a ton of time. The two rough starts notwithstanding, if he bounces back in his next start, whether that's tomorrow or a couple days from now, I think Ragans still very live, but something to monitor. We shouldn't just blindly jump in because it's 16-1 for him to win American League Cy Young. A lot of time. So something to monitor. I'm not cooled off on Cole Ragans yet, but got to monitor the injury, see how he looks. Like I've said before, a lot of these books, BetMGM included, keep the awards markets up. So if Cole Ragans comes out tomorrow and he doesn't end up starting tomorrow and he's throwing 100 and he looks awesome, then maybe it's a bet to make if you have nothing in American League Cy Young. But we will update you on that tomorrow if Ragans is indeed the listed starter for the Royals. Let's talk a little bit about the Yankees, who made history yesterday. First team in league history to have multiple games with 3 straight home runs. The Yankees didn't stop there yesterday. They had 4 straight home runs to open the game against poor Kyle Gibson, who has an ERA of about infinity now after that. Yankees did this once almost exactly a month ago when they had 3 home runs to open a game. They hit 6 home runs combined yesterday in their 15-3 win over, sorry, PJ, PJ's Orioles. He's not listening to this probably. I don't know. PJ's a sicko. Maybe he is listening to this. Love you, Peach. Anyway, the Yankees. Very, very good. Aaron Judge, you're about minus a billion favorite to win American League MVP. Hit a home run yesterday, finally, for the first time in a couple of weeks. He's 2-1 to hit a home run tonight. As you guys know, I don't like to bet short prices for home runs. We'll get to Jakey Rake's home run just for funsies play of the day at the end of the show, as always. Also, speaking of Aaron Judge and MVP markets, now we're starting to see it pop. Aaron Judge versus the field, where he's a minus 600 favorite versus the field to win MVP. Awards, so fun, aren't they? Anyway, Luis Arraez made his return to the Padres last night after he had that scary collision with Mauricio Dubon of the Astros about a week ago. He missed 9 days, missed a handful of games, but he returns. He went 1-for-3, hit a sac fly RBI in the fourth. Padres go on to win the game 7-4 over the Giants. Padres first five money line, by the way. Check mark. Logan Webb wasn't great, but that's fine. Still very much in the NL Cy Young race. We'll update you on that later in the week, or maybe next week. We'll see how it goes. But Luis Arraez, over 1.5 hits today, is plus 190 against Landon Roop and the Giants. Don't hate that. Luis Arraez looked like he was fine, was on the concussion injury list for a little bit, but now he's back in a huge boost for the Padres lineup. And when he's good and he's right, a guy who could hit over 300 and is a constant on base machine. We talked about history in New York with the Yankees. Let's talk about history on the other side with the Mets. Pete Alonso makes Mets history, moves into fifth place all time on the Mets RBI leaderboard after he hit a solo home run yesterday in the Mets win over, just something stuck in my throat there for a second. Over the Mets win over the Diamondbacks. Snakes were very, very dead. I thought the Snakes were alive yesterday. Nope. Eduardo Rodriguez's peripherals were not much use yesterday. The Mets just absolutely wallop Arizona. They improved to 21-9. Their best start since 2006. That year went pretty well for them until they got to the NLCS and the Cardinals went on to win the World Series that year. But overall, a really good year for the Mets. And maybe they get over that hump this year. Alonso finished the day 2-for-3, scored 2 runs, had the RBI on that solo home run. Mets now minus 140 to win the NL East, plus 450 to win the National League. Their updated win total is 96.5, and hard to argue with that. This certainly looks like a team that is going to win 100-plus games, certainly looks like a true contender in the National League. Maybe I had a little bit of a blind spot with them. I was a little skeptical of their pitching, but what they've created over there in that Mets pitching lab, it really, really works for them. And they are a team that you have to back right now, and you have to consider them a true contender. It's April 30th. Things could fall apart. The Mets could met. RIP Seymour Wiener, by the way, which is another thing. Like the Mets, last year was the year of Grimace and the year of the Rizzler and the Pumpkins. And now they have an unofficial mascot with Seymour Wiener. Again, RIP. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go on Twitter. You'll see it. And it's a callback to last year. But RIP to a true legend. The Mets have the juice. Can't argue with that. And it's funny because I see Sean laughing as I say Seymour Wiener over and over again on this broadcast. But hey, you got to do it. Am I right? We'll close Touch 'Em All here. Everything that you need to know. If you missed this, we have a treat for you. Dalton Varsho. Like, there's nothing to really take away from this other than it's really awesome. Center fielder for the Toronto Blue Jays, Dalton Varsho, makes an insane no-look falling down catch for the Blue Jays yesterday in their game against the Red Sox. He's falling down, and this is why you should watch the show live on Twitch or on YouTube or on Twitter at the BetMGM Network, because we're showing it for you from the Blue Jays account. He's falling down. I mean, look at this. He's falling down and he just sticks his glove out behind him and he makes the catch. Dalton Varsho, a gold glove center fielder. He's really, really good defensively, offensively. But that's why the Blue Jays keep him around, for plays like this, because he just is amazing. And I said out loud, "Oh my God," when I was watching this. And my roommate, who was across the room, goes, "What?" Because he thought something bad happened. That was how big my exclamation was. And I said, "You have to see this." And I showed it to him and he said, "Oh my God." So shout out Dalton Varsho. Blue Jays lost the game, but you know, at least you have that catch for yourself going. Let's get to the bettors box. Let's get to your bets, your questions, everything that is on your mind today in the world of baseball. B Mills, of course, our usual. Appreciate you being here as always. B Mills, Michael King over 6.5 Ks, Chase Dollander over 5.5 hits allowed, AJ Bluebow over 4.5 hits allowed, and a 1+ hit parlay of Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez, who have great history against Pablo Lopez. Love the play against Pablo Lopez. I've been trying to fade him. I like that play. Like you said, they were two guys that I looked at because of their history against Pablo Lopez. Stephen Kwan, by the way, our going streaking play for Send It In, as I try to make PJ's streak 10. Be really awesome if the streak was still going when he gets back. We'll see how it goes. Got to win one tonight. Make it 10. But as for Michael King, I love the look for him going against the Giants, B-Mills. He is somebody, you know, let's take a minute here for Michael King, because his price out there, there's a 22-1 out there for him for NL Cy Young. He's somebody that I bet at 20-1 before the year started. And I think 22-1 is wrong on Michael King. A 2.17 ERA. He's been dominant to start the year. Was a little shaky to start the year in his opening day start against the Cardinals. But ever since then, he has just been unbelievable. Has been shoving. And I think that continues tonight. He has good history against the Giants. Michael King, if you have nothing in NL Cy Young, I think is somebody that is worth backing. And that's it. He's the last guy. I have three guys. Christopher Sanchez, Logan Webb, Michael King. If I lose to Paul Skeens or Yoshinobu Yamamoto, so be it. But those are the three horses I'm rocking with for NL Cy Young. Why did I say rocking with? I hate that. Anyway, B-Mills, love your plays. As always, love you being in the betters box. Reed Phillips, the rookie for the Astros starting today, has given up 9 home runs in AAA this season. Does this lead to a potential Tigers home run? Carpenter, potentially? I think Carpenter and Torkelson are good looks. You are right, Reed Phillips. AJ Blueball has not been good in AAA. He had a 4 ERA in AAA in the minors for the Astros. So I think the Tigers are probably the right look for this. We'll get to that game in just a second when we get to the 7-minute stretch. But I think the Tigers are potentially the right side of this one, especially with Jackson Job on the mound. Hint, hint, wink, wink for when we get to the games. But yeah, I think if you want to take Carpenter or Torkelson, those would be my looks to try and fade AJ Blueball. Brian Giles, talk about us being on the wrong side of the home runs yesterday. Right game, just the wrong team. Yeah, we tried. Listen, can't win them all, right? This is somewhat of a cold streak for us as far as the home runs go. It be what it be, is what it is. We go to it. We press on, because that is my promise to you, dear listener, dear viewer, all of you in the betters box. I will never stop firing on the Jakey Rakes just for funsies home run plays of the day. That is my promise to you. I am here for you. I'll always be here for you. I was going to try and make a joke, but I didn't. So anyway, we move on. Thank you to everyone in the betters box. Appreciate your comments and your bets as always. Let's get to it. Let's get to the games. And we start with the starter spotlight. And my starter spotlight today is going to be Michael King. I want to back him tonight. Had to dig around a little bit. Had to search for a bet and a way to back Michael King, but we did get there. He goes against the Giants. He does have good history against the Giants as well. And like I talked about, I think his Cy Young price is wrong. He's been absolutely shoving. He has a 1.25 ERA at home this year. This Giants team hits just 210 against him in their career. So I want to back Michael King. Give me the first three team total for the Giants under a half a run. Giants to not score in the first three innings of this game. I want to back Michael King. Good history against the Giants. He's a demon at home. That is my starter spotlight. Michael King to hold the Giants scoreless through the first three innings of this game. You get some nice plus money with that one. But that is the starter spotlight. We now move to the 7-minute stretch. Full card today. Full slate of games to get to. Everything for us to break down. And let's get into it, and let's start with a game that we talked about a little bit already. Tigers versus Astros. Astros minus 135. Total is 8.5 in this one down in Houston. Jackson Job going for the Tigers, and I want to back him. He rules. Doesn't go deep in the games, but has pitched pretty well. Pitched really well in his last start. So give me the first five under 4.5 in this one. I want to back Jackson Job and the Astros and the Tigers both on getaway days in this one. Astros fly to Chicago next, and the Tigers go to Anaheim to face the Angels in their next series. So I think you should see some offense that is pretty muted in this one. I think Job could hold the Astros scoreless through the first couple innings of this one, even though they shuffled their lineup with Altuve batting second now, and that has produced some pretty good results for them offensively. I think Job should be able to take care of business here. AJ Blueball, I know we just talked about him not being good in the minors, but the Tigers being on a getaway day, usually a spot that you want to fade offense. I will take the first five under
4.5 in this one. If you just want to back Job and go against the Astros on their true getaway day as they go to Chicago, as I mentioned, Astros first five team total under is also a good look, but I'll go the full game first five. Well, I guess it's not the full game. The full total first five under 4.5 in that one. Braves and Rockies. Rockies plus 220 at home. Total is at 10. Chris Sale, former White Sox great. Speaking of Chicago, who hasn't really been that great this year, against Chase Dolander going for the Rockies. I wanted to go with Chris Sale strikeouts in this one. The number's 7.5, and it's about minus 105 to the over. And I get it. The Rockies are terrible. They're awful at home. They're awful overall. They're awful against left-handed pitching, especially. But just something about Chris Sale and how he's looked this year, I'm hesitant to back him. He doesn't go deep into these games. And even though he hasn't gone deep in the games and he's still been able to rack up strikeouts, he had a couple starts of 4 innings where he racked up 8 strikeouts still. And yes, it's the Rockies. Maybe I'm a coward. I don't know. But and you know, I know I'm a coward. I can't get there on Chris Sale today, even though it's the Rockies. So I do have a bet in this game. I like Hunter Goodman over 1.5 total bases. Like I said, Chris Sale just hasn't looked like the guy that won the National League Cy Young last year. And Hunter Goodman has been awesome this year. He's destroyed left-handed pitching, hitting 333, 405, 697 against left-handed pitching in this season for the Rockies. 2 home runs in the last week for Goodman as well. So give me Hunter Goodman over 1.5 total bases today against Chris Sale. Marlins versus Dodgers. Dodgers minus 300 today against Cal Quantrill and the Marlins. But welcome back, Tony Gonsolin, coming off Tommy John surgery, making his first start of the year for the Dodgers. Total's 9.5 in this one. The Dodgers badly need starting pitching, and Tony Gonsolin, soft landing spot for him going against a Marlins team that's not that great. Shout out to Augustin Ramirez, though, even though he went 0-4, still our NL Rookie of the Year guy who we're watching and who we are rooting for. But if anything, this would be an overplay for me, even though it's 9.5. Cale Quantrill's been awful. He's got a 7.83 ERA for the Marlins. Goes against a Dodgers lineup that obviously is awesome. And Tony Gonsolin, I don't know how deep he's going to go in this game. First start coming off Tommy John surgery. Theoretically, there's going to be a lot of rust to knock off for Tony Gonsolin here. Even though it is the Marlins, they still got a couple guys that can hit in this lineup. So if anything for me, it would be the over 9.5, but nothing officially for me in this game. But welcome back to Tony Gonsolin and his return from Tommy John. Angels and Mariners, talked about it. The game that I love. I really like Emerson Hancock over 4.5 strikeouts against the Angels here. Don't really love a side either way, but I will back Emerson Hancock over 4.5 Ks. I like over 5.5 Ks as well, if you want to get some plus money with that one. Giants and Padres, I want to back Michael King, like I mentioned in the starter spotlight. First three team total under 0.5 run for the Giants. I think Michael King is in for a very good start in this one. Twins and Guardians. Guardians plus 110. Total is 7. Twins minus 130 as the road favorites. And they're the road favorites because of Pablo Lopez. He's 2-1 with a 2.08 ERA so far this year. Luis Ortiz has been atrocious for the Guardians. He's got a 5.96 ERA coming into this one. And I fear I found my new Blake Snell. I fear that Pablo Lopez might be my new Blake Snell. I don't really love Pablo Lopez. He's been good so far this year, but he's faced the Cardinals and the White Sox and just the Royals, teams that can't really hit. He's been great in those starts, but I just feel like the competition's been very soft for Pablo Lopez, and the Guardians have been not a great offensive team as well this year, even though they have good history against him, especially Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez. I think we're getting too far over our skis here as far as Pablo Lopez goes, and I'm probably just going to look like the idiot here. I'm not going to take the Guardians on the money line. As I said in Going Streaking, I like Stephen Kwan here a little bit to get a hit. If you want to take him over 1.5 total bases or to get 2 hits, I like that look as well to try and fade Pablo Lopez a little bit. But otherwise, no official plays here. I think Pablo Lopez is going to be my new nemesis, though. Might have to put that on the board as well. Yankees versus Orioles. Carlos Carrasco, old man Carrasco, against Maury's son, Cade Povich. Total is 9.5. Yankees, slight favorites here. And I'm just going to take the Yankees on the money line. Minus 115. I'm okay with that. Povich has stunk for the Orioles. He's been really, really bad. And Carrasco, even though he's about a million years old, he's pitched decently, at least average here. And so I'll take the Yankees on the money line. You're not paying a huge price here. I don't think Povich or the Orioles should at all be getting this much credit. They look terrible as a team, the Orioles do. Adley Rutschman can't hit right now. Jackson Holliday is still just very mediocre. I'll take the Yankees here on the money line in this one. Cubs versus Pirates. Cubs minus 165. Pirates plus 135. Total is at 8.5. Matthew Boyd versus Carmen Majinski. Nothing here for me. Think this is just right. If you want to pair the Cubs with like the Braves or the Dodgers and get yourself some hashtag value and a two-team money line parlay there, I don't think that's a bad look. The Pirates, atrocious to watch. Majinski's been terrible. 6.95 ERA, really close to being nice. And Matthew Boyd continues to defy his peripherals. He's been good. And as a lefty, the Pirates have struggled against lefties so far this year. Cardinals and Reds in game two of the doubleheader. Total is at 9. Steven Matz versus an undecided pitcher, unannounced pitcher for the Reds. I know there's going to be a zigzag theory, and I know that people are going to want to go whichever way that whoever wins, and it's top of the sixth right now. Cardinals are still leading game 1-0. And usually that's a pretty good theory. And especially with Steven Matz, that's why you're seeing the Reds as minus 135 favorites in game 2. I'll be just good on this game. Once the props get posted, I'll probably try and fade Steven Matz in some form or fashion. And maybe it's a total basis on McClain or Ellie, but nothing on the side or total in that one for me. Nationals and Phillies. Phillies minus 225. Total is at 8. Nationals plus 185. Jake Irvin versus Christopher Sanchez. Everyone, manifest in your minds a healthy outing for Christopher Sanchez. He avoided the injured list. The Phillies, for whatever reason, decided not to give him an MRI on the elbow after he exited his last start with elbow discomfort and what they called like a forearm strain that wasn't really a strain. He returns today against the Nationals. No bets for me in this one. Just please, please stay healthy. Get through the start. Five innings. Just give me five innings of 1-2-run ball. Just be effective. That's all I'm asking for. Just stay healthy, Christopher Sanchez, please. Keep those Cy Young tickets alive for us. Please, 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 please. Thank you. We move on. Royals and Rays. Drew Rasmussen going for the Rays. They are minus 175 favorites. Royals plus 145. Noah Cameron, as we mentioned, starting this one in place of Cole Reagans. A little bit of interest on the Royals on the money line. They've been playing much better baseball over the last 10 days or so, but Rasmussen has been awesome. So no official plays for me in this one. Like I said, I lean Royals there. Red Sox versus Blue Jays. Hello to Lucas Giolito, season debut for the Red Sox. And yes, people are betting the Blue Jays because of that, because Lucas Giolito hasn't been great lately over the last couple of years as he bounced around the league. I get it. The Blue Jays are a little interesting to me. Giolito was not very good, and his rehab starts in the minors either. So lean towards the Blue Jays here, maybe some Vladdy props here, a home run, things of that nature. But I'm good. I'm good on Lucas Giolito. Sorry. Thank you for your service as an innings eater over the past couple of years. No thanks. Don't want to back him. Diamondbacks and Mets. Mets bullpenning this game, minus 105. Diamondbacks with Corbin Burns, your minus 115 favorites. Mets, I would just take the Mets on the money line. They have the juice right now, and Corbin Burns does not look good. He does not look like the guy even last year who he be far cry from the guy that was in Milwaukee in this one. Brewers, White Sox, I'm good on Tobias Myers and the White Sox never. A's, Rangers, give me Wyatt Langford over 1.5 total bases, fading Luis Severino. Wyatt Langford's been on fire recently. 429, 487, 829 slugging percentage over the last 9 games. The bets for all of you, the good people of BNB and Send It In of the BetMGM Network.
Detroit and Houston, first five, under 4.5. I want to back Jackson Job and the Tigers on a getaway day. Think there won't be a ton of offense in that one. Hunter Goodman, over 1.5 total bases, best price, plus 115 at BetMGM. A fade of Chris Sale. Goodman has destroyed left-handed pitching this year. Emerson Hancock, over 4.5 strikeouts against the Angels, who strike out a ton against right-handed pitching and a ton when they are away from home as well. Giants, first three, team total under 0.5. Michael King, want to back him. Yankees money line, Wyatt Langford over 1.5 total bases. And the Jakey Rakes, just for funsies, home run plays of the day. Give me Hunter Goodman, who is very good against left-handed pitching and has two home runs in the last week. And give me Wyatt Langford, who is slugging .829 over his last nine games and has a home run against Luis Severino as it is. That does it for the Hassan Hour. Thank you to everyone for tuning in, whether it be on Send It In or on B&B.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.